You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Contact, but yeah, I think the most frustrating thing about last night, Dan, is you did finally have the offense in sync, but now it's coming at a time when the pitching is absolutely in flux, which that was supposed to be the strength of this team. It has been the strength of this team, is the pitching. Mainly the bullpen, but the starting pitching as well. And it just seems to be the 2025 Giants. If it's not one thing, it has to be another. Or if one thing isn't working, then something else is. If something's working, something else isn't. That's just been the tune of this team all year long, and hence the immense levels of frustration.
Last night was the worst-case scenario because you knew at some point, Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, we had talked about this, that there'd be some regression. You can't be that reliant on these guys. There's going to be, especially when you have Bulldogs that don't miss starts and accumulate as many innings as they do, you're going to go through points, as they call it, quote-unquote, the dog days. You hit the wall, and you're going to struggle, and you need your offense to carry you through and just simply outslug another team. Well, last night, it was a very it was not Logan Webb-esque sort of performance. And then the offense was anemic again. And if this is what's going to happen, where your pitching now suddenly has become an area of concern, and you continue to be anemic in terms of your offense, well, then forget about the playoffs. By the way, we can rag on the Giants, and we can talk about their deficiencies, but solamente uno partido, one game from the playoffs. One game separates them and the San Diego
Padres.
Exactly.
Despite it all, despite all the doom and gloom, despite all the worry and the consternation, Giants are still very much in this thing. And it is, I don't think anyone should be waving a white flag. They are a good week away from being very, very much in the thick of the playoffs, being in the thick of a playoff spot right now. So it's rough right now, but salvation's not that far away for the Giants. And again, if you're looking for positives here on this Saturday morning, which again, it's tough to do right now because you had the 6-game losing streak coming out of the All-Star break, 2 wins against Atlanta that I don't think really impressed anybody. It's obviously scoring 9 runs in back-to-back games. That's impressive for this team. But you do it against a Braves team that is just not good, especially pitching-wise. They've been decimated by so many injuries, and that bullpen is so bad that I don't think anyone is really taking seriously that whole that outburst there over those 2 games. But a part of me also think, like, if you're in a hitting groove, you're in a hitting groove. You can't bring that home with you across country, and you have an off day, and it's just, oh, man, last night sucked. Like it did.
Good night, everybody.
Is there any reason? In 8 minutes into the show, that's where we're at. Like, no, but seriously, like, this is a big, big homestand for the Giants here, these 6 games, 5 left now. And I figure they had to go 5-1 on this homestand.
Yeah.
And they blew their one right there last night there, Dan, against the Mets. And it's going to get tougher from here on out. You got David Peterson. He's going to be on the mound this evening for the Mets, and
He's having a pretty good year. He was an all-star, got a 2.9 ERA. And also, Dan, he's a lefty, which means it's whatever reason, Giants just can't hit lefties. And then tomorrow night, Giants are probably throwing a bullpen game, which I know a lot of Giants fans won't like that. I don't know if it's going to be a bullpen game or if there's going to be an opener and a bulk guy. But whatever, whatever the plan is for the Giants on the mound on Sunday night, the Mets are throwing out Kodai Senga, who is, you know, just got a 1.70 ERA on the year and is on the short list of Cy Young candidates right now.
Well, the big question is, who do you start on Monday?
And that is a very, very big question. It's one that the Giants don't even know the answer to right now. It's, again, it's, they're probably going to call someone up. It could be a Carson Wisenhunt. That could, if there's ever a time for him to be the guy, that could be it. It could be Mason Black, who's been up here already once
this year.
Do you
know who they call up? Who they should call up?
Who do you want to see them call up?
Merrill Kelly. It's time.
You think they should go make the trade for Merrill Kelly?
Now. You have to. It's not an area of before where we could use another veteran starter. You have to. Forget about hitting. With what's going on with Birdsong, Roop's on the shelf for hopefully the next two starts. You've got to go get a starter. But now it's not just a veteran and a guy that can eat up some innings and is somewhat reliable. You need to go get a good starter. And Arizona apparently is selling. Josh Naylor is now a member of the Seattle Mariners. Merrill Kelly is on the wrong side of 35, I want to say 36 years of age, but he's Merrill Kelly at the end of the day.
He's still a damn good pitcher.
He's an expiring contract. I think they need to go get him.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the big news that broke yesterday was indeed the Giants putting Landon Roop on the 15-day injured list with elbow inflammation. And when this first injury, when this injury first was announced, Dan, my first thought was, well, if Landon Roop's injured, is it one of those like phantom IL things where it's like they just want to rest his arm for a little bit? And so, you know, they say you have an injury or something like that. So then they put you on the IL for 2 to 3 starts and let you rehab, as I do air quotes here on the radio. But in reality, what, you know, a pitcher's doing in that situation is basically just taking some time off, resting the arm, you know, reducing the amount of stress on the arm to save their health for the stretch run of the season. But when the reason was elbow inflammation, I immediately realized, like, no, this is not a phantom IL stint. Like, this is, if you're going to do a phantom IL stint, you'll do like an ankle injury or a blister or something like that. That was not one of those cases here. And yeah, very, very concerning here. But the good news is, and again, we talked with Bob Melvin about this last night. We talked to Landon Roop about this last night. We can hear from them later on. But there's optimism that they caught it early enough, this elbow inflammation, that he won't be out for a long time. But anytime you hear elbows and pitchers in the same sentence, it's hard not to get nervous.
We've talked about this, that you're throwing a guy out there that has never done this before in terms of innings amassed. Like, he's over 100 innings. He's never thrown this many at the major league level. And you can say, well, you know, he's thrown, I think he went 110 maxed out in the minor leagues in terms of the most innings he's ever thrown.
Yeah, 106, 107.
But this is what you're susceptible to. Again, to guys who are being pushed into a space they've never been before, is that you blow a tire or you stretch a tendon or a ligament. And this is part of what the dog days are about. And that's why suddenly you're seeing somebody that we dogged for the first couple of months, but he's a veteran and knows how to preserve the body and knows when and how to pitch in these moments. But Verlander might be your most consistent guy going forward. I know that sounds ridiculous, but the Landon Roops and the Hayden Birdsongs, they hit a wall. And that's what happens when you become reliant on younger pitchers.
Yeah, and I do think a bright side of this, if there is to be a bright side, and I talked with Landon about this last night, is that he is going to be able to at least rest the shoulder a little bit as well by taking this time off. So you don't want to take time off this way, but this could end up being a bit of a blessing in disguise, so to speak, for Landon Roop. If, assuming that the elbow inflammation isn't serious, assuming that they are correct and that they did catch it early, and they will be able to treat it early, and it won't, you'll grow into something worse that will require any sort of procedures. I don't want to say the forbidden word here in this sense with Landon Roop. So while he's having the time off, he will have some time to rest the rest of the body, rest the shoulder, which should help, you know, down the stretch, because Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, again, they're scuffling right now, but you expect them to bounce back. Justin Verlander did get his first win this week, you know, so we're very excited about that. And I don't know what that's going to unlock for him. I do know that Verlander, I mean, he was laboring through those first 16 starts without a win. And I got to imagine now that he's got that win, he's starting to feel like himself a little bit more. Maybe that unlocks a bit of a better pitcher as well. But as you said, Dan, I mean, Landon Roop has been one of their most consistent pitchers. And he is a guy who, at this point, they're going to need to rely on for some big-time innings down the stretch here. So hopefully he's able to get back sooner rather than later.
Well, it was about a little more than a month ago when he got tattooed out in L.A. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And he's been nails ever since.
His ERA has been under 2. And he has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know what's frustrating about him is that he doesn't have enough innings to qualify as one of the league leaders. Like, he can't statistically be considered one of the. I mean, he just simply doesn't qualify. But he would be.
Yeah, you have to have more innings pitched than your team has played games, and I believe it's pretty damn close.
He's
actually
close.
Like, I think Landon's like a couple innings games behind what the qualification would be.
But now I think the paradigm has shifted, where I think the concern all year long was you need more offense, and they do. But what's more pressing, I think, is that they need pitching. And it should be clear to everybody now that what was once the strength of this team is slowly becoming the Achilles heel. And they have to go out and they have to get somebody that is certified. And I'm talking, I mean, I don't know everybody that's out there, and I know there's a lot of names that we can throw out there, but I think that maybe not both of them, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly are going to get dealt, but I think one of the two is a good bet, are going to get traded before the deadline. They have too many expiring contracts. Yeah. I'm referring to Arizona, and Merrill Kelly would be a perfect fit. And obviously it depends on what it is that Arizona's asking in return.
I have a hard time buying into interdivisional trades like that, just because, I mean, do you really want to send a guy somewhere where you're going to see him as often as you will? But maybe if they are on expiring contracts, exactly, maybe that does change.
He may end up in Arizona at the end of next year.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be, you know, Giants trade, you know, like a Carson Wisenhunt for Merrill Kelly, and then Merrill goes back, and Giants got to face Gallen, Kelly, and Wisenhunt in Arizona next year. But no, what happened this week, Dan, is basically, you know, last week on this show, we were talking about who the Giants can get pitching-wise, and we had Alex Pavlovich on, and he said, you know, starting pitching is very much the big priority they need to get now. And last week, we were looking at names like, you know, Charlie Morton, Andrew Heaney, Mitch Keller. I mentioned Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo with Kansas City is a guy who would absolutely be on board with getting right now. Those are guys who are like 3-4 starters. You know, those are guys who you plug into the back of the rotation, they'll give you consistent innings, and if they pitch well enough, maybe they're your 4 starter come playoff time. But now it feels like you can't shop at grocery outlet anymore for a starting pitcher at the trading deadline. You got to go to one of the more expensive grocery stores. You got to go to either Safeway, or you might have to even go to Whole Foods now to do your shopping for a pitcher. And I'm talking about, yeah, Gallen and Kelly. I'm talking about Edward Cabrera in Miami.
He's having a great year.
Yeah, and then you might have to go to or Joe Ryan with the Twins, who is going to be the crown jewel of this trade deadline.
Unless Eldridge is on the table, I don't know if you have enough to get Ryan.
Yeah, and so, but this is where this trade deadline is going to be very, very frustrating, I think, for the Giants, and that is there is a lot of teams that are very much in this playoff hunt right now that fashion themselves as contenders. I mean, you look at the wild card standings right now, Dan, you got obviously your 3 teams in the American League. You got the Yankees, Mariners, Red Sox. They're holding your 4th, 5th, and 6th wild card spots respectively. But then you got the Rangers, Rays, and Guardians, who are a game and a half, and 2.5 games out respectively of that 6th playoff spot. And then in the National League, Cubs, Phillies, Padres, those are your 4th, 5th, and 6th teams. And then a game back, and a game and a half back are the Reds, Giants, and Cardinals. So you have basically 9 teams in each league right now that are in the playoffs or are in the playoffs hunts. That is 18 of the 30 teams that are going to be in this. Then you're going to have, of those other 12, some of those teams are going to be on the fence. Some of those teams are, you know, maybe just going to be standing pat. There are not going to be a ton of selling teams at the deadline, which is a long-winded way of saying it's going to be very expensive to add pitching talent this coming Thursday.
Yeah, it's easy for us to say who they should go out and get, but the question now becomes, what do they want in return? I know that the Yankees were on board for Josh Naylor, and they wanted Suarez at third base, and they still may get him, but the reason they didn't get Naylor is simply because of the asking price. So we don't know behind closed doors. The Mariners could afford it, but it depends on the ask. Obviously, Eldridge is off the table, but what are you asking for to get Merrill Kelly or to get one of these star pitchers now becomes the question going forward. I think that, you know, when you look at San Francisco right now, for whatever reason, I, if you want me to explain what the hell's wrong with this offense, it's beyond words. I don't know, because these are not bad players. And these guys have all shown, at least in the last two games prior to this homestand, that when they're all hitting together, they can be one of the better offenses in the National League. And certainly on paper, they're proven. These are proven some all-star players, 1 through 5 in that lineup. But when it comes to the pitching now, that's the concern, because I don't have as much concern, I guess, is what I'm saying offensively.
Yeah.
But right now, it's almost like break glass in case of emergency in terms of their statuses when it comes to the starting pitching. And even the bullpen's got some holes. I don't know what the hell was up with Duvall last night, but
well, Camilo Duvall, that's its own conversation as well. And yeah, he did.
In a while.
Well, he had pitched. Yeah, it was his first time pitching in 10 or 12 days like that. And so he needed to get some work in. I thought it was an interesting situation bringing him in there, but yeah, it does make sense. And this is where, see, I don't like it when Duvall comes in non-safe situations because he's so incredibly not crisp in those situations. He got roughed up. He hit the first batter he faced, and it was not a clean inning at all. He gave up 2 runs, and this was an issue that Duvall had last year where Bob Melvin would bring him into non-safe situations. And for closers, it's when you're a closer in a safe situation versus a closer in a non-safe situation, you're two completely different pitchers. And Camilo Duvall needs to have that safe situation pressure in order for him to pitch effectively. That's what makes him an effective closer. And you saw it happen last year, Dan, where he would come in these non-safe situations, he would get lit up, and it shook his confidence. And that ended up becoming a problem for the Giants, so much so that he was removed out of the closer spot by the end of the year and had to go to AAA at one point just to find himself. But that is to say, the bullpen I'm not that concerned about. I am a little bit worried about the future of Eric Miller, and I do expect the Giants to probably find some relief help as well just to get some reinforcements there. Reliever names I can't tell you anything about. There's so many relievers out there. I don't know who the guy to get there is. I like what we're seeing from Matt Gage. But going back to the starting pitching, yeah, hitters are going to cost however much of the deadline. This deadline, though, it just feels like with how many teams need starting pitching and the names that are going to be on the market, like a guy who I don't know if we're going to see him next week is Mitch Keller. Again, I brought him up a lot. That's the guy who I think is at the top of my list of guys who I want to get. You might have to part with a top 10 prospect to get a guy like Keller who's pitching really well, getting screwed by run support, but you're going to have 5-6 teams who are going to be trying to get a guy like that. And someone's going to have to part with something that they don't want to part with. And that's going to be the thing where it's not that I don't know if the Giants are going to be willing to part with their top 10 prospects, not named Bryce Eldridge. It's more concern of, are the Giants' top 10 prospects whose names are not Bryce Eldridge, are they worth more than another team's top 10 prospects? And that's where I feel like another just hurdle for the Giants to have to clear this.
Yeah, time. And to that point, I think what becomes really interesting going forward as we hit the deadline is we have our thoughts and our perception of Matos and Luciano. But I'm just curious, if you're Arizona, if you're the Cubs, if you're Kansas City, what do you think of these two guys? Like, is there any value? Is there any interest in Luciano and Matos? Because to me, and I said this last week, those are two guys that I think eventually are going to get traded, and you're better off doing it now as opposed to doing it over the offseason. And part of it is because they're out of options. So I'm sort of curious. Obviously, those two alone, I don't think are enough to get you Keller or to get you Merrill Kelly.
Not.
You're going to have to throw somebody else in there. But I'm just curious if they sweeten the pot, or has everybody just simply gone sour on Luciano, who, if you pulled this trigger, you know, 3-4 years ago, you could have got a boatload back. You could have gone straight up with Luciano when he was a top 10 prospect at one point.
Mm-hmm. He was Giants number one.
I'm just curious whether you could sell And you got to be a real salesman at this point and say, hey, listen, kid's only 23. Matos is in his mid-20s. These guys got a huge future, especially if you're a team that's looking to rebuild for tomorrow. I'm just curious if they carry any value in terms of trying to get that pitcher.
My guess right now is Marco Luciano. You're not getting a ton of value out of him in return. I mean, he's got some power. He's got 18 home runs in AAA this year, but he's not hitting the ball well. I think he's hitting around 220. He doesn't have a defensive position. They tried him at short, didn't work out. They tried him at first, didn't work out. They tried him in the outfield, it didn't work out. So you got a prospect that, by and large, everyone has watched you fail to develop numerous times, and he's basically a defunct asset at this point. So, yeah, whatever you are getting for him now is going to pale in comparison to what you could have got for him a couple years ago. So it's going to have to be Luciano and someone else who's on that prospect list. I don't think you'll need like a Luciano.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Luciano in a Wiz and Hunt package to get someone like a Mitch Keller, but to get someone like an Edward Cabrera, to get someone like a Zach Gallen, yeah, that might be the price point that you have to go to there. And I'm kind of curious. 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to hear from Giants fans here on the wrap. We take any and all Giants takes. How desperate should the Giants be going into this trade deadline? I still maintain that Bryce Eldridge is untouchable. Is there a name out there, though, that if he becomes available, you would be okay with moving off of Bryce Eldridge in that situation? So definitely want to hear from Giants fans on that one. Or you know what? I want to hear from our people in the YouTube chat. I want to see some names in the YouTube chat of who they want to see the Giants go get at this trade deadline there. And shout out to those who are watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Got a great rest of the show coming up here, Dan. We'll talk a little bit about Logan Webb's start last night. Talk a lot about what the Giants are going to do at this deadline, their playoff chances. At 10:30, we got George Contos, who's a host of Giants pre- and post-game on NBC Sports, World Series champion, former Giants reliever. We'll talk to him about what we saw from Logan Webb last night and where the Giants are at going into the deadline here. So stick around. We got a lot coming up here, and that is going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Back into the wrap. 888-957-9570 is the number. We want to hear from all Giants fans. We take any and all Giants takes on the show. Coming at you the morning after the Giants fell 8-1 to the New York Metropolitans. Logan Webb goes four innings, really gets roughed up there. Six runs allowed, all of them earned, eight hits. His ERA has ballooned up to 3.38, Dan. And his last few starts, it has been pretty rough there. Again, he had the six runs last night. Go back to his previous start in Toronto. He got roughed up there to the tune of, as I tried to talk through pulling up his stat line here and as our internet is absolutely failing me, but he did get lit up in Toronto and then got hit hard against the Dodgers too in that Friday night before the All-Star break as well. The Giants were at least able to pull out the win in that one, but three straight rough starts for Logan Webb. And we talked to him after the game, and he was he's definitely feeling it right now. Giving up a lot of hard contact. As I mentioned, he had eight hits that were 104 miles per hour or more off the bat last night, which for a guy like Logan Webb, who is usually so good at limiting that hard contact, that's concerning to see. And I just asked him point blank, like, why do you think you're having issues with that? And his answer was pretty simple. It was, when you look at that box on the TV, the balls are in the middle of the zone. That's why they're getting hit pretty hard, which pretty blunt assessment there from Logan Webb, just leaving balls out over the middle of the plate. And this is a time when the Giants really kind of need their ace to be their ace. And he's just not, these last three starts, it has just not been there for Logan Webb. And it's a little concerning.
He's fatigued. I don't think there's anything more to it. He's just fatigued, and this happens. It happens to just about everybody in Major League Baseball, especially when you're a horse like Logan Webb, and you go out there every 5 days. You'll have a dead arm. And I think after watching him face the first couple of hitters, you could clearly see that this was not typical Logan Webb stuff. And you know what the biggest indicator is? When he gets the ball up, nobody keeps the ball below the knees or at the kneecaps better than that of Logan Webb. And his pitches were flat. They were just put out there on a tee. And you could just, and sometimes you can just, you know, guts and guile will get you through, but he's just fatigued and he's hit a patch here. And this is when you need the offense, ideally, to pick you up and win a shootout, win a game 10-9, 11-8. But they clearly don't have the capabilities of doing that. So, to compound things, it's the worst-case scenario where Logan Webb is suddenly going through a rough patch. I don't think it's an indictment on suddenly he's lost. No, he'll be back. It just happens. It's part of baseball. This is a battle of attrition at the end of the day. And it'd be nice from time to time to be able to rely on your offense to dig you out of a hole or to help you out when you don't have your best stuff out there. But the offense is a whole other story. It's a whole other can of worms.
No, and this is the thing where, like hitters go through rough stretches, and Bob Melvin was saying this last night. He's basically just saying, you know, this is a rough patch for Logan Webb. This is that hitters go through rough patches too, and they happen to the tune of, you know, going 0-for-4 several nights in a row. Pitchers have rough stretches as well, and Logan Webb, he's good for at least a couple rough stretches every now and then, especially around this time. I'm looking at kind of the numbers he did last year. And, Dan, there's a stretch in July where he got roughed up by the Blue Jays, Rockies, and Dodgers. You know, so it's just, it happens. He has these 2-3, sometimes 4-start stretches where he just gets knocked around a lot. And this is the guy, he's a pitch-to-contact pitcher. So he doesn't always have that strikeout stuff, which he has developed a little bit more of this year. But the struggles of a pitcher are always exacerbated when they're happening on a team that can't score runs. And that's just the thing. It's, It is. He needs the bats to pick him up. They're not picking him up. And so it just exacerbates these rough patches so much more. Because again, he did get knocked around by the Dodgers a couple weeks ago, but we don't talk about that because he got the win. And the Giants won and everything's forgiven there. So it's tougher when you're not getting that run support and your pitcher's struggling. And that's why it feels like the sky's falling all over the place.
I don't have as much concern for Logan Webb, because I think Logan Webb will be Logan Webb at the end of the day. Again, he's just going through something, and it's to be expected. It happens to just about every major league pitcher, even the best Hall of Famers. My bigger concern now becomes on the back end of that rotation. You lost Hayden Birdsong, and I do want to talk about Hayden Birdsong, because I think that is, you know, that's a serious, serious concern, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But now it becomes, when you lose Landon Root, that 3, 4, 5, the back end, and I don't know where people are at with Verlander. I'm okay with Verlander. I always have, and I told you that this is a guy that, you know, at the end of the day, he could still be that guy that you're relying upon because he's a veteran. He's been there and done that before. But there is a big concern. I don't focus necessarily on Logan Webb. I know we want to react because the game was less than 24 hours ago and what the hell is going on with him. I do think Logan Webb will be Logan Webb.
Oh, yeah. I am not worried about Logan Webb long-term whatsoever, because we do this every time Logan Webb goes through a rough patch, because for whatever reason, we can't just accept that Logan Webb is a good pitcher.
He's human.
Yeah, it is. He goes through a rough patch. Oh, he's not good. He's not an ace. He's not that great. It's like, no, guys, he goes through rough patches. Every pitcher does, all right? Like, Tarek Skubal goes through his own rough patches here and there as well. It's just, it happens, and we just have to overreact to it every single freaking time. It's, no, the next start, Logan's going to be pitching this coming Wednesday against the Pirates, a terrible team that can't hit, the perfect kind of opportunity for him to get back into a groove. If he comes out and he shoves against the Pirates, he gets back into that pitching groove, then yeah, we're not worried about Logan Webb anymore.
Yeah, and the concern, I think, for Giant fans, if you really want to focus on the pitching, it's what do you do with 3 through 5, or at least 3 and 4? If assuming that the number 5 guy is Verlander, then who's the 3 now becomes a big concern. And at least in the interim, with Landon Roop out for what, potentially the next month, or at least the next couple of weeks?
At least two weeks for right now. From what I gathered last night, is there's a lot of optimism that it will only be just 2 starts. So could I be wrong? Sure, I guess, you know, but right now, I think there is very, very good optimism that it will be a short-term stint.
But he's still going to be under the watchful eye.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be side-eyeing his starts the rest of the year because he's a young starter with an elbow inflammation. It's, you know, they might be able to get him back, but you know, hopefully he's good at that point.
And this just screams you got to go out and you got to get pitching help and you got to do it pretty quick. You know, I think this begs to sort of the bigger question, and that is this team just a 500 squad? Is it like, are we trying to put lipstick on a pig here? You know, I talked about this. They got off to the 8-1 start at the beginning of the season. The beginning of the year, I think we'd all admit it's just what's up is down, what's down is up.
Nothing ever makes sense in the first month.
Teams are trying to hit their stride. The good teams, you know, usually take a little while before.
I think the Rockies had a winning record at one point in April.
But since then, they have been, well, now they've been a sub-500. I looked this up, the last 75 games, which is a pretty good sample size, they're 3 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
This team is right around 500, if not a game or two below. And I'm talking over the last, not the first 2 weeks of the season, I'm talking about over nearly 4 months of baseball.
No, you go back to, just go back to the end of April. Since, you know, the end of April onwards, they are in the bottom third of the league in basically every single offensive category. And that's after being in, you know, the middle of the pack back in April. But this team offensively, we know what they are. And they are just a very below average offensive team. But the thing is, Dan, weren't we kind of expecting that? Like, was that the plan coming into the season, that it's going to be a team that is going to be built around their pitching? It's going to be built around their defense, which Elliot Ramos last night, yikes. First play of the game, Brandon Nimmo hits one out the left that by all accounts should have been a can of corn out, and Ramos just completely whiffed on on playing that one and took the wrong route again. Ball gets over his head again, and you have an unnecessary runner on base again.
Was that Nimmo?
Yeah, that was Nimmo who hit that last night. Which I know Brandon Nimmo swings a sledgehammer in the on deck circle when he's waiting to hit. Which I don't know how many people knew that, but I noticed that last night. I'm like, huh, dude's just down there swinging a hammer around. I kind of like it. Maybe
it's kind of old school. They used to swing these huge sort of apparatus so that when you know your bat feels lighter.
Yeah, no. So I kind of like, hey, maybe some guys in the Giants.
I want to talk about that for a second because okay. It looked like that on the broadcast. I wasn't there. You were.
Yeah.
And so immediately, Kruk and Kipe said that was a missile by Nimmo. And they had talked about how the wind was blowing out
they
the right field. And they said, they didn't say it as much, but they framed it that was not on Ramos. The minute I saw that, I was like, oh my God, here we go again. He's coming in on a ball that's whistling over his head. But I wasn't there, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt because according to Kruk and Kipe, it's like that ball by Nimmo just jumped off the bat and Ramos had no chance. I'm with you. I saw it, and that did not look like the right angle to take.
No, it was a bad angle from the jump. I mean, he was cutting in. Now, again, I don't know if it was like a difficult ball to see last night. It was an overcast sky. There were the lights on, and sometimes you just lose the ball in the air. But this isn't about losing the ball in the air. This is about he just didn't read it off the bat. Like right off the bat, you could tell, you know, obviously you can tell where it's going for the most part off the read. And his first thing in, you could hear the bat, the noise was so loud. And his first step is in. And for me, Dan, I was always taught when, you know, growing up playing baseball that no matter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
No matter what, you want your first step to be back, at minimum. Take your first step back, because it's easier to go back and then have to go forward to get the ball rather than go forward and turn around and go back, which is what Ramos did last night. So at minimum, you got to take that first step back. He's not even doing that. And it's just, it's too damn often now we're seeing him make these just ridiculous mistakes in the field. And for a team that, again, is not really built to
give up runs like that. Like, this is a team. This is a team that it needs its pitching to be locked in. It needs the defense to be locked in. That was always the vision of what this team was going to be like when Buster Posey constructed it this offseason. And for the most part, I do think this is a solid defensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, they have mistakes out there, and I know you could probably look at their errors, and they're probably in the middle of the pack when it comes to errors. But when you watch this team play, they are better defensively than I think some of the numbers will give them. But it has to be consistent like that when your offense isn't good. And so I think, is this team just a 500 team? I think they're slightly better than that. I think they're a team that should be in the 85 to 88 win category at the end of the year.
Is that enough to get you anything?
I think 88 wins could get you in that five or six spot right now.
I want to say the Mets got in with 89 last year.
I think it's going to be something like that. And this is very much if you're in, you have a chance. And when you have
Arizona was 84 mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
You got that 3-game series in the wild card, and you got Logan Webb and Robbie Ray those first 2 days, like, you're going to feel as good as any team going into the playoffs here. So, no, I definitely think this team is better than when you make a move for a guy like Rafael Devers, you're not just a 500 team. That is a move that a team makes that is trying to do some damage now and in the future, but more importantly now. When you sign guys like Willy Adames and Matt Chapman to long-term deals, you're trying to do damage now. And so, like, this whole concept, this is just a 500 team, like, they're playing like one, I get that. I think there's another level that this team needs to be able to access. And if they can get Devers finally hitting right, which putting him at first base, maybe that's what unlocks him. If this offense can get going a little bit, take some pressure off the pitchers, I think you'll see this all kind of trickle down to where this team will start to play a little bit better. But it's going to start with the bats actually getting the job done.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Because even if you stay at this pace and somehow you sneak into the postseason, if you think about it, San Diego's clearly flawed. Cincinnati should not keep you up at nights. St. Louis isn't very good, and they haven't been good of late, although they're beating up on the Padres. So you can get into the postseason. But if it's a quick exit, you're right back where you started in terms of evaluating this baseball team. And so it's not so much, I know the focus is we want to get into the postseason. We haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
Get to the playoffs. But if you're going to get bounced early, it really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day to me. If this team is going to be legitimate, they got to run off 10 of 12. They got to win 8 in a row. You cannot stay at this pace of taking a step forward and 2 steps back, winning your last two against the Atlanta Braves out on the launching pad, and then suddenly come home and they get blasted by the Mets. You can't win 4 in a row and then lose 3 or 4. At some point, you got to get off of this treadmill if indeed you are going to be a legitimate contender out of the National League this year. And you've got to win some games. You've got to get to 15 to 20 games over 500.
Yeah, well, that might be a little bit difficult for this team. Again, this is clearly a wild card team. I think they're not going to catch the Dodgers unless the Dodgers give them a little bit of help. Which, again, the Dodgers have not been playing well this month either. You know, the Giants have not. The Giants have actually gained ground on the Dodgers this month for whatever that might be worth. But I do think there is something you said about let's just get in there first. Now, if they get in, it's a quick exit. I think there is something to be said about a team that at least made it into the playoffs and that you can sell that as a sign that you're moving in the right direction. But, and this is kind of where I'm rubbing my hands a little bit just about the construction of this team. I do believe this team was constructed as is to win now. You know, like when you look, the guys on this team, the contracts that you have, the money that you have committed to this team, it's not like you're spending a bunch of money on washed up players like the Giants were back in 2017 and 2018. This is a team full of guys who are in their prime in the case of Devers, Adames, and Chapman, guys who are rising up into their prime in the case of guys like Elliot Ramos, Jung Hoo Lee. You have two legitimate pitchers in Logan Webb and Robbie Ray. And you also got, let's be honest, it's still one of the best bullpens in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
When you have when your team is comprised of those things, you know, several veteran hitters, young hitters, good pitchers, great bullpen, by all accounts, that should be a team that's in the thick of the playoff race. That should be a team that is better than what the 500-ish record would indicate. And basically, what the major issue with all this, though, is to why this team is not where they should be, it's the inability to get that extra big hit. You know, the hitting with runners in scoring position
It's been a vexing problem all year long to where these guys, they're not adjusting their at-bats in the moment. I'm watching Pat Burrell pregame trying to work with them and get them to adjust their approaches in the moment. It's just not working. But, Dan, you look at the lineups last night, and I think it's one of the notable differences between the Giants and the Mets last night. Your top four hitters for the Mets were Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso. Giants' top four hitters, Ramos, Devers, Adamas, Chapman. Top four, both lineups produced somewhat last night. The Mets a little bit more than the Giants' top four. But where the difference really came, especially in that fourth inning, Dan, it was the bottom of the lineup. Starting with Brent Beatty, he got a base hit. Alvarez gets a base hit. Then Logan Webb gives up the walk to Mauricio. And the bottom of the lineup's getting damage done. They're loading the bases up. Taylor has the fielder's choice to score a run, and then that sets things up for the top of the lineup start doing some damage. When have we ever really seen that this year from the Giants where the bottom of the lineup is setting the table for the top of the lineup to come through? Or when the bottom of the lineup does set the table like they did last night at one point, I believe it was in the
sixth.
Yeah, in the sixth inning here, you got Yaz on, you got Jung-Hoo Lee on, and then, it was the fifth inning. Sorry, you got Casey Schmidt, you got Patrick Bailey get lead-off singles here. And then Ramos pops up. Rafi strikes out. Willie pops up. That's the difference between the Giants and the Mets. When the Mets bottom of the lineup will set the table, whereas the Giants bottom of the lineup doesn't. Or when the Mets bottom of the lineup does set the table, the top of the lineup comes through. Meanwhile, the Giants bottom of the lineup, they do set it up, the top doesn't come through. That's one of the big differences. And that's just, it's beyond frustrating when that happens. And that's where kind of you start to see why this team is hovering around 500.
And I don't know how to explain it. And I don't know that I dare anybody to try and give me a rational explanation as to why that's happening, because these are good hitters. And last night I think it was a 6-1 ball game in the fifth, and you got Casey Schmidt and you got Bailey, they get on board. And you're like, okay, you got two on and nobody out. The percentages of you getting a run are pretty good.
And your three hottest hitters are coming up to the plate.
Elliot Ramos, and you're going Devers, and you're going Adamas, who just lit it up out in Atlanta, and you get nothing. And so we sit here on a Saturday morning and try and explain it away. It's not as though Devers isn't a good hitter. It's not as though Adamas historically can't hit with runners or ducks out on the pond. And Elliot Ramos has been good. It's just one of those
things. Ramos was 2-for-2 at that point.
It's just one of those things, and that's why I still, believe it or not, hold out hope that, you know, this is a team that at some point it's going to put it together offensively. That's the only explanation. I don't know how to put any rationale or to get my arms around and somehow make sense out of what consistently happens, especially at home for whatever reason.
I just don't know how many guys they need to be hitting at one time, because, again, they got four guys who are hitting in this lineup right now, and they still can't get it done. They got 9 hits last night and only one run. And that's where it comes down to getting guys on base isn't so much the issue right now. They are getting guys on base, but it's like, can this team string together 3 big hits in a row? Like, I'm looking last night, and you know, you start off, you had the Ramos got the base hit, then Rafi hits a double, and can you get a third hit in a row? Well, I mean, Willie Adamas gets into a force out, to a fielder's choice that scores a run. That's not really a hit. You didn't get your 3 hits in a row there. The rest of the night, though, is just you're in. Capable of stringing 3 hits in a row together. Meanwhile, the Mets, I mean, they basically start off with a couple hard hits, but you know, you're talking about, you know, in that fourth inning where things really kind of got blown open, Beatty gets the base hit, Alvarez gets the base hit, and Mauricio draws the walk, which they say a walk is as good as a hit. I mean, could the Giants get 3 guys on in a row like that? At some point, it's that when they could start doing that more consistently, that's when you're going to see this team start to really take off. But until then, it's like a car just stuck in neutral right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to hear from Giants fans. What do you make of this team right now? What moves do they need to make? So let's go out to the lines here. Let's go to one of our favorites, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, Josh Naylor no longer on the board, man. Who are we going for now?
You took the words right out of my mouth. How you doing, Dan, Sam? How's it going?
Going, Mitch.
I want to apologize to you, Sam. 2 weeks ago, I must be my hearing. Somebody, I thought you said Sam Levin. It's Loban. My mistake, my fellow one.
Yeah, Loban.
And for some reason, I thought it sounded like Levin. I want to apologize.
It's not the worst mispronunciation I've ever heard.
Well, I'm talking about it here. I heard totally different. So that's on me.
It's all good.
definitely a Thank you. I couldn't believe it. They were going to move in. The Giants were slow at the wheel. How about the third baseman? I know we have a third baseman. I think he'll come back. I know he's 32, but it's not that old. I hope Chapman can pick it up. Our line's not that bad, but we can use another hitter. I don't even care if we have a pretty good play at the same position. I mean, Derek Jeter and A-Rod, they work together. They manage. They play in the same field. One just move one spot over. So I'm hoping maybe Caminero from Tampa. And then, of course, Oakland. You know, I know we can't get the – he's going to be the rookie of the year. That last night cemented him being the rookie of the year.
Oh, Nick Hurts?
Sacramento Athletics.
Oh, that was – yeah.
Shout out Big Amish. Four home runs, becoming the first in the history of Major League Baseball to do it as a rookie.
Yeah. No, that was pretty good, right. Mitch. I don't think the A's are giving up. Their leading rookie of the year candidate, though. But I think
I was thinking more like Butler or Rooker.
Oh, Rooker. A Rooker would be an interesting one. They could probably DH him, keep Wilmer off the bench, maybe put him out in left field there. Brent Rooker would be an interesting one there. So thank you there for the call, Mitch. The problem with the A's in making trades is that they're kind of in a situation where they need to be spending money to where if they don't spend it, they don't get their welfare check. And so that might kind of slow the A's ability to that might hinder the A's ability to want to make some trades there. So, again, thanks for the call, Mitch. Next one, go out to we're up against it here. Alex in Atlanta, I see you. I'm going to get you on the other side. We are up against it here, so I don't want to bring you on right before we're going to a break because I know you got a lot to say, and I don't want to have to cut you off just so we can get to the break on time. So we're going to go to the break right now. I'll get you on the other side. Let's say what we want to say here. George Contos coming up at 10:30. Tripped over my words there. A lot more Giants talk to come. We'll talk about what Landon Roop had to say last night about his elbow injury and what Bob Melvin had to say about it as well. Talk about that on the other side, as well as get to Alex in Atlanta. All that's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.